been thinking about last week's parsha of Korach the whole week. And I wanted to share some thoughts which I feel are worthwhile preserving in our memory banks. And after everything that Korach had experienced, it's hard to imagine how such an influential and distinguished individual could succumb to such a grievous error as to accuse Moshe Rabbeinu of favoritism. This is what has been bothering me. He saw with his own eyes how Moshe split the Yam Suf. He saw with his own eyes how Hashem gave the Seres HaDibros through him to all of Klal Yisrael. He witnessed what happened at the Egel, what happened with the Meslainanim, what happens with the Meraglim, the spies that went to seek out information about Eretz Yisrael. Everything that happened from the Makkos in Mitzrayim till now corrupts everything. He knew good and well there was Hashem's will for Moshe Naharan to lead the nation. He saw how Hashem spoke through Moshe and Aharon, and how Hashem guided them all along the journey since Elif Mitzrayim. So how could Korach challenge their leadership? What was he thinking? The Torah testifies about Moshe many, many times, as we have read, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe Kein Osu. As Hashem commanded Moshe, so did he do. What better certification could there be about the integrity of Moshe? The Torah reiterates, Kein Osu. So to revolt against him, the Chayyur should have been unthinkable. But the reality is it happened. So we can't leave the parasha without learning some very important lessons that I believe need to guide us throughout our lifetimes. The answer, I believe, lies in the words of the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Avos, taught to us by Rabbi Elazar Kape, who said the following, Hakino v'hataiva v'hakovaid v'tzien es ha'odam min ha'olam. When a person becomes consumed with jealousy, when a person is driven by passion, when a person craves honor, he will not last long in this world. These traits and unreasonable ambitions cause a person to become oblivious to their surroundings. It extracts a person from the realization that other people also inhabit this world. And it's not just about the I. Literally, Metzien es ha'odam min ha'olam. It means that you lose your mind. That these three ambitions can excite a person to the point where he forgets everything else in the course of his pursuits. He knows nothing but himself and his end goal. He forgets that Hashem is in control. And he can only inquire that which Hashem has destined for him. And no more. That's all forgotten by him. How frightening. Isn't this the story of Korach? What do we see? We see that no human being, no matter how great he is immune from these character defects, that envy and jealousy was the downfall of Cain when he killed his brother Hevel. We see that extreme desire led Am Yisrael astray when they demanded the slav, the fowl from Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't satisfied with the man, it wasn't good enough for them. And we see what COVID can do, that even the Nesim that was sent to spy out Eretz Yisrael came back with an incorrect description. What do these stories teach us? It teaches us, beware, danger, do not enter. Eventually, what happens as a result, sooner or later there is discord between one another. There's machlokes. It breaks out. And then once happy marriages and happy families become broken apart quickly. Money, honor, jealousy, inheritance, Yerusha, desires consume people. How tragic is this situation? And ultimately the arguments drive the Shekhinah away. Because as we all know, the Shekhinah will only rest in a place where there is Shalom. And there is nothing more that Hashem Yisbarach wants than Shalom, the peace between one and another. And it is therefore very understandable why one of Hashem Yisbarach's names is Shalom. This peace, because that is the essence of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And when we study the story here of Korach a little bit closer, we find that Korach in reality had plenty of covet up to this point. It's not like he was deprived of any covet. After all, he belonged to Shevet Levi. That family was chosen to surround the Mishkan on three sides. And Moshe and Aaron on the fourth. And their families. But all the other 12 Shvatim were encamped around them. Three tribes on each side. From four sides. But Shevet Levi was accorded a special honor in handling and in carrying the Mishkan from place to place. But this wasn't enough for Korach. And all the 250 distinguished followers of his. They had more than the rest of Klal Yisrael. But for some reason, without the kohuna itself, they couldn't appreciate their elevated status that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. And then Korach goes ahead and he infuses his followers with the desire for more and more. And now more than that, he's unsatisfied with his position. And now he goes and he tries to justify his assault, his rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu by making up all kinds of reasons to disguise his pursuit of his end goal. First he accuses Moshe of favoritism. Then he claims he's trying to rule over Claudius' role. Then he starts to become an advocate for Klal Yisrael in order to find favor in everyone's eyes. He starts to compliment Klal Yisrael that they are all holy people and Hashem dwells amongst them. And one can think that it meant L'Shem Shemayim. But the reality is it was Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim. And this is what the Mishnah Novus teaches us. Kol Machloikis Shehi L'Shem Shemayim. The Mishnah says Sofer L'Skayim. V'Kol Machloikis Shein L'Shem Shemayim. What about arguments and quarrels that are not for Hashem's sake? Then it's not Sofer L'Skayim. Then the Mishnah says, V'eiz machlekes L'Shem Shemayim. What is a machlekes that is considered L'Shem Shemayim for Hashem's sake? That's machlekes V'Shem V'Shillel. But then the Mishnah says, and what is a machlekes that was Shiloi L'Shem Shemayim? The Mishnah says that's the machlekes of Korach V'Adosai. Korach and his followers. And we all know the end of this tragic story. It's mamish, like the Mishnah says, Metzina sa'adam in the olam. The earth swallowed them up. And they were literally removed from the world scene. They were mechalel Hashem. And because they affronted Moshe and Aharon, Hashem's chosen leaders, thereby they also were in the front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And when we look a little bit closer, we understand that by the severity of their punishment, by just imagining the einish that they received in front of the entire Klal Yisrael, we have a better understanding into the severity and the gravity of the sin, the aver that they committed. They were completely erased with no memory left of them. Except for one thing, and that is the lesson to be learned from this entire episode. And this lesson is so important that the Torah dedicates in a parasha with Korach's name in order to remind us forever what machlokes can cause. Simply put, total ruination. So therefore, how careful must we be to distance ourselves from any arguments and quarrels and divisions which ultimately bring destruction to all that are involved. Everyone is at risk. When there is a machlokes, the participants are at risk. The news carriers are at risk. And I remember my father, Zichron Livracha, of blessed memory, would say, he used to say it in Yiddish, "Medarf avekloifen fin machlokes vi fin afayer," which means one must run away from machlokes, from arguments, like from a fire. Why is that? Because it catches down to everything like a fire. Anything in its midst gets swallowed up. And eventually it burns out of control. So in ending, we need to take into our mindset the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Hashem says, Godol HaShalom, that peace takes precedence over everything else. Let not one think that by forfeiting and giving up something that he will lose. No one loses by pursuing peace. Hashem has plenty in his treasure house to take care of those who sanctify his name with shalom. And Hashem was echad. He wants achdus, he wants unity more than anything else. And when one breaks the unity, he's pogam. He blemishes the cohesiveness that Hashem installed in this world. And that is why it is so important for us to try always to be mevata, to overlook, to forgive and to forget, and to ensure that shalom is maintained in our families and in our communities. It's not simple to live peacefully. But this is the goal and the reward for maintaining peace and running from machlokes is unimaginable.